First of all, Professor Humphrey, recreate for us the mood of the time. It was
the mood of the time was, there were two things. There were the people who did this work, and it was in the very early years, earliest years of the United Nations, they thought they were doing something very important. And it was a reaction, of course, to the atrocious violations of human rights in Nazi Germany. This was a reaction of decent thinking people to that experience.
Now, it doesn't take a cynic to see how desperate the situation is in the world where rights are concerned. We don't even need to make a list. I think you'd have make a much shorter list if you were to list the countries where the barest minimum of human rights are respected. And obviously the United Nations doesn't have any means to enforce the protection or even the establishment of rights. How do you feel about how we're getting on?
Well, I tell you, Rome wasn't built in a day, huh? And what we've done in these last 40 years is to create certain standards. Incidentally, the Universal Declaration was never meant to be binding as part of international law. It now is, because it's been invoked so many times that one can say that it's part of the customary law and therefore binding on all states. But the mere fact of creating this body of law is in itself something very important. We now have standards by reference to which the conduct of governments can be judged. The next thing to do, and that's the challenge of this generation or the coming generation, is to create the mechanisms of implementation and enforcement that are necessary.
But if we were to judge most countries by whether they're observing these standards, we'd find them sadly lacking.
I think so. I think you're right. But, you know, let me suggest to you that the traffic laws are broken every day, that we still have murders, indeed more murders than we used to have. Law doesn't tell you what's going to happen. It simply tells you what should happen. And then, if that doesn't happen, there should be some mechanisms of implementation to enforce the law. And that's the weakness of the international system. Governments were able to agree on these goals to be achieved, as it were, but they don't agree on mechanisms of implementation.
Where do you think we should be moving now? Recently, I think some emphasis has been placed on, I don't want to call them secondary rights, but rights that aren't perhaps as basic as just freedom of speech and freedom to, earn a living, freedom of political expression, but things like fighting illiteracy and improving the status of women in the world. Is that one of the...
Oh, well, the Declaration is very much concerned with the status of women. And I think that probably that one can say that the UN has made a great contribution to the improvement of the status of women. I remember in 1948, I had a list of those countries that didn't give the right to vote to women, huh? Well, that's not a very long list now. So you've just put your finger on one place where there certainly has been an improvement not only in law, but in fact.
Would you change anything in the Declaration today? Would you make amendments?
Well, in my draft, I put in several things that were not accepted. For example, I had an article in there based on the experience of the League of Nations, which provided for the protection of minorities. Now, that was left out. Why? Because most governments are more interested in assimilating their minorities than in protecting them. That was one case.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned the possibility of amending the Declaration. I wouldn't advise that at all. Because I think it's like the Charter of the United Nations. If you opened it up to amendments, God knows what might happen.
Well, I guess you're optimistic, are you?
Look, I put it this way. Optimism is the best working hypothesis. If you want to achieve something, you've got to have such an hypothesis. I'm not necessarily an optimist, though. I may be a pessimist, because I say to my students, and I say to other people, that unless we can, and soon, create the necessary mechanisms of implementation so that these rights and freedoms will be respected, then I say the world has no future, because there's a very close relationship between respect for human rights and the peace of nations.
Dr. Humphrey, thank you very much.
Thank you.